Hi, my name is Lily Apple. I am 18 years old, and I'm here in Baltimore, Maryland with my grandma, who I'm going to refer to in this interview as Moo. It is November 24th, and it's 2017. So now you say who you are.
My name's Ellen Apple, and I am the grandmother of Lily Apple, and she's going to interview me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that I will be able to answer all the questions that she has.
I think you will. They're mostly just about you, so I'm hoping you'll be able to answer all of them. So we're in her room right now, and it's Thanksgiving weekend. So we are going to start this interview. So the first question I want to ask you is, can you tell me about your childhood? And what was it like?
Well, I was born in a small town in Ohio, and it was called Steubenville, Ohio. And I had a sister who was 4 years older than I was, so I had a four-year-old sister when I was born. And my parents were very easygoing, easy to get along with. I don't ever remember either of them raising their voices. And it was just a very easy childhood. We went to school that was not too far from where we lived, and we moved just one time. I was very young, the first move, and then we moved into a double house, and we lived on the second floor. And we had a great big backyard, and we could be out there and play and run around. And it was just a bit, and it was close enough to walk to school. We were able to walk to our school. And then when I got to junior high, it was a different school. But also we could walk to that. It was a little further, and sometimes I would try to get somebody to drive me there, but you could really walk there. It was a small town.
Yeah. Would you say you had like a fairly normal childhood?
Yes. I did. Yes.
What were you like as a kid?
What was I like? I liked school. I really liked going to school. And I liked being friends with people. And I think I did well in school. You know, I didn't have any problems with school. And I didn't know that there was a different world out there. All I knew was this small town, and it was a steel mill town, and my father owned a bar. And
he did?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he was gone most of the time, because when you have a bar, you have to be open a lot, because there's sometimes the guys from the steel mill, they have a night shift, and they don't get off work until early in the morning. Well, when they get off work early in the morning, they're ready to drink. So the bar had to be open early, and it would stay closed. It would stay open for quite a long time. So he worked really hard and was not home a lot. He always came home for dinner. And on weekends, on Sundays, he was at home, because that was the only day the bar was closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that often he would bring home change from the bar, and he would let my sister and I go through the change and you know, make sure that everything was there. You know, you put the dimes in one place and the nickels in one place and the quarters in one place, and he had us do that. And then when we were done, he would give us a little bit of coins. You know, that was our...
Would you ever go in the bar and help him?
No. He did not want us there. The bar was downtown, and we lived not downtown. It was, I don't know if you'd call it uptown, but it was a different location where we lived. And we'd only go downtown if we wanted to do some shopping, because most of the stores were downtown. And if we would go in the bar to ask him for money, he'd hurry and run up to the front and say, "Okay, what do you need?" And he'd give us what we wanted, and he'd say, "Okay, now leave." He did not want us in the bar, because he thought that the guys that were there were too rough.
Mm.
And he didn't want us hearing the way they talked, and you know, so we were not really allowed to be in the bar.
Yeah. Did you go in when you were older at all, or by the time you were older, did he sell it?
Not much. Not much. Mm-hmm. No. He just didn't want us there. And the bar moved from one part of the city to another part of the city. And it was nicer, the second bar that he was in, but he still didn't want us to be.
It's kind of like a dive bar, the first one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The second one, he didn't want us to. He didn't want us to come in there. And I understand why.
Were they strict, your parents?
He was protecting us. What?
Were your parents strict?
No, they were not. They were not strict. They were both very quiet people. Mm-hmm. They were very quiet. They never raised their voices. They never yelled at us, as far as I can remember. And they were good loving parents. Yeah. Yeah. But they didn't show love a lot, you know. They weren't always kissing and hugging. That wasn't it at all. But we knew that they loved us.
Was your mother stayed home?
Yes, she stayed home. Yes. They actually they were up in years when they married. I think my mother was 30.
Oh, that's very unusual.
And I was 38 when she was born. And my sister would have been born when she was 34. So she was considerably older when she got married. Yeah. And she was one of 9 children. And, but they all those 9 children married. And most of them stayed in Steubenville. Some of them left, but not too many of them. Not too many. But my mother had worked. She was a secretary. She did not finish high school. She dropped out of high school, but she went to a different place where she could learn all about typing and shorthand.
On the
all
typewriter?
Of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was where she actually finished. She didn't have a high school graduation, but she learned skills. And she got a job as a secretary and worked at a steel mill. It was across the river in Weirton, West Virginia. There was a big steel mill, and she worked there. She was a secretary to one of the, I guess, important men at the mill. And then she ended up being a secretary to the, back in Steubenville, as the secretary to the man who was in charge of all the schools in Steubenville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was Grandma Esther?
Grandma Esther, yes, her name was Esther.
Mm-hmm. And what was your father's name?
Mose.
Mm-hmm. Was it, while growing up in Ohio in the 40s, did you see a lot of segregation? Did you live in, like, the white part of town, or what was going to school like, or?
There were not a lot of African-American people there. There were some, and we had some in school, in my class. Probably we didn't have any in my elementary classes, but when I got to high school, the high school was, you know, downtown, and all the other schools fed into that high school. There was just mm-hmm. one high school, and there were a few African Americans, and they blended in. In fact, the president of my class when I was a senior was an African American guy.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you would say you didn't really witness a lot of racism? Did they have, like, separate water fountains or restaurants or anything?
No, they did not. They did not. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't really see it play a large part in growing up?
No, not for me. I didn't. You know, I'm sure that there were some of the students who maybe didn't like it, but I don't ever recall anybody saying anything bad or nasty, you know, about them, because they just kind of blended in with the rest of us. There weren't that many.
Yeah.
I would say in my graduating class, there were probably fewer than 12 African Americans. Mm. And I don't remember having anyone from any other countries.
Did a lot of people from your town go to Ohio State?
Well, I'll tell you, there were not that many people that went to college.
They worked in the steel mill.
They worked. Now, some of the women, I would say a very small percentage of the girls went on to college.
And you were one of them.
And I was one of them, yeah. But there was a small percentage. Most of them did not. And probably among the boys, more of them went to college, but probably not a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, you know, there wasn't money then, although it didn't cost that much, because if you went to an Ohio college, It was pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
And my sister was 4 years older, and she had gone to Ohio State, and she had just graduated as I was coming in, but I had no choice. My father said, you know, Joan went to Ohio State, you're going to go to Ohio State. And I didn't argue. That was fine, you know?
You didn't mind?
No. I thought I was lucky.
What'd you major in college?
Actually, I majored in business.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, being a woman, you really couldn't do much in business at that stage of life. So I ended up being a secretary. And that was fine with me. I liked that.
But you ended up being a teacher.
That was after. That was after I had children. I went back to school.
To be a teacher.
Mm-hmm, to become a teacher. And what I taught was business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like in the workplace like that the men like looked down on you, or did you ever feel like they were sexist towards you?
You know, no. I mean, we knew our place, you know. And the men seemed to know their place. And I don't ever recall anybody
complaining, you
know, bothering me or being anybody doing anything that was out of line, really. I don't recall that. I don't think that ever happened.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think one of your biggest accomplishments have been?
One of my biggest accomplishments is having three wonderful children.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Could you tell me the story of how you met Pop Pop? And tell me about your wedding.
Okay. Well, after I graduated from college, I did not want to go back to Steubenville because it was a very small town and there really wasn't much going on there. And I had been in Columbus, Ohio for 4 years, which is a pretty decent sized town. And I thought, I can't go back to Steubenville. There's nobody there that I am going to want to be friendly with. And I don't think I'll get a job there even. It's not worth it. I've spent 4 years learning this. So it was kind of a happenstance. I had a friend in college, and she had actually not finished, but she had gone to Dayton, Ohio, because she lived in that area. She had gone to Dayton, Ohio, and she had rented a house with another two young women, and the three of them were there together, and I just happened to get into a conversation with her when she was back visiting in school, and I told her that I really didn't want to go back to Steubenville, and she said, "Well, why don't you come to Dayton?" Now, Dayton was a bigger city. And she said, "I'm there." She said, "And the two girls I'm living with, they're going to go home because they were teachers. They're going to go back home for the summer, so I'll have this apartment to myself. So why don't you come and stay this summer, get yourself a job, and then when they come back, you can go get your own apartment." And I thought that sounded like a pretty good thing. So I went to Dayton, Ohio, which is actually on the very western, pretty much the western edge of Ohio. Ohio is a pretty big state, and Steubenville was totally on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And this was all the way on the other side of Ohio. So I immediately got a job. I got a job as a secretary at the Dayton Chamber of Commerce, which was kind of a fun job. You know, you got to meet a lot of people, and I did a lot of stuff for them. You know, they put out all kinds of information, and I was the typist, you know, and I did all that, and answered the phone, all that sort of thing. And I was happy with that job. I liked it. And so my roommate, her name was Bobby, and she had more boyfriends than you can imagine. And every guy she met fell in love with her.
Was she beautiful?
No, she wasn't. She wasn't beautiful. She was nice looking, but she certainly wasn't a beauty. And I don't know what it was that the guys all just kind of fell for her. So she always had dates and always had guys. So she had gone down to Florida for a little vacation, and when she came back, she said, "I met this guy in Florida, and he lives in Pittsburgh, and he said he wants to come to Dayton to see me." And I said, "That's a pretty long trip for him." She said, "Oh, well, he wants to come because he has another friend that lives in Dayton, and he wants to come visit that friend, and then he's going to take me out, you know." So they set up a date, and he said, could I bring a friend with me? Could you get a date with this friend? And she said, of course, my roommate will go out with him.
Where was the friend from? Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh. He was also from Pittsburgh. They had worked together, these two guys. Mm-hmm. So they came, and that was how I met Jack. He came to Dayton, and they were there for a whole weekend because it was Labor Day, so they came, you know, it wasn't just one night. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know. And I didn't like him at first, and he didn't like me at first. but by the end of the week, we kind of warmed up to each other. And he said to me, because my sister lived in Pittsburgh at the time, he said, if you ever come to Pittsburgh, let me know, he said, because we'll go out. And meanwhile, we started corresponding. We started writing letters. In those days, you wrote letters back and forth. And the more letters we wrote, the more we liked each other. And then I did go to Pittsburgh to visit my sister, and we had a date, and I met all his family on that date. He brought his whole family with him.
He brought his whole family on the date?
Well, not his parents. His parents didn't live there, but he had two cousins that he was very close to.
And that was, who was that?
Natalie and Marvin.
Yeah, Natalie and Marvin.
And another couple that were his cousins also. And at the moment, I can't think of their name. But anyhow, they all came because apparently they wanted to meet me because I guess he had talked about me.
Ooh.
And so they thought that I was his girlfriend, and I really wasn't at that time,
yeah.
You know, because we didn't know each other that well. But they wanted to meet me. So we all went out to dinner, and, you know, things progressed, and we liked each other more and more and more, and all of a sudden we were a couple. And it was hard because I was still in Dayton and he was in Pittsburgh, and it was, you know, that's pretty far apart. We couldn't go back and forth very much, so it was all through letter writing and phone calling.
How long was that? Did that go on for?
It went on for probably maybe close to a year. And then at that point, we kind of knew that we were going to be together. So I moved back to Steubenville because Steubenville is very close to Pittsburgh. It's only 40 miles away, and it's like an hour's drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved back to Steubenville, and I got a job in Steubenville. Worked for the Bell Telephone Company. And we would see each other. He would come down during the week once, and then we'd get together every weekend.
Was this when was he working at London Fog at this point?
No. He was working at Kaufman's Department Store, which was the biggest department store in
the country at that point?
No, in that area, you know, in Pittsburgh area.
Was he a salesman at the department store?
No, he wasn't. He managed a lot of things.
Yeah.
He went from place to place managing, you know, different mm-hmm. areas. Mostly menswear.
Yeah.
He was a menswear manager. And so then we got married.
How'd he propose?
Well, we kind of had talked about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot. And I mean, he never got down on his knees and said, let's get married, you know, or anything like that. But I'm sure you've heard this story. But his brother, Don, was being bar mitzvah because his brother, Don, is 15 years younger than he is. So it was his bar mitzvah, and I was invited because I was Jack's girlfriend at the time. So I was invited to that bar mitzvah. And in the evening at the party, Jack got up and he said how nice it was to be at his brother's bar mitzvah. And by the way, I want to introduce you to my wife, the woman I'm going to marry. And he pulls out a ring and says, here's the ring. Well, I was beside myself. I was so mad at him. I thought, what a dumb, stupid thing to do. How could you do that? I mean, we had talked about getting married, but, you know, there was nothing definite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he made it definite. And he pulls out this ring, and I wanted to smack him.
Was Uncle Don mad that he stole his bar mitzvah moment?
He still talks about it.
He still talks about how mad he was.
He said, it was my party, and all of a sudden everybody's telling him how wonderful he is, and they're not even thinking about me.
Aww, Uncle Don. Yeah. Did your parents like Pop Pop and vice versa?
Well, you know, they didn't really know him. And he sat down when after he decided that, you know, after he gave me the ring and everything, and my parents didn't know about it, you know, because they weren't there. So I had to tell them about it. And then a few days later, he came down to Steubenville.
Was that the first time they met him?
Hmm?
Was that the first time they met him?
Oh, no, they had met him because he'd been back and forth, you know, to Steubenville. He'd come down often. They had met him. And, you know, they didn't know if they liked him or not, you know, because they didn't really spend that much time with him or anything. And I had not met his parents until that bar mitzvah. That was the first time I met his parents. But, you know, it all worked out. It all worked out. He sat down, Jack sat down and talked to my father, you know, said that he was going to be a good husband.
Aunt Shirley didn't really like you, though, right?
She kind of didn't
Grandma
like
Shirley.
Anybody.
Grandma Shirley, yeah.
She was a tough cookie.
Yeah.
She was not an easy person. Mm-hmm. She was difficult. And, you know, I don't think she disliked me. But I never felt any, you know, any closeness to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back a little bit, just talking about bar mitzvahs, this was one of my earlier questions. You grew up in the, more 40s, I guess, than 30s.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was born in 1933, so 30s and 40s, yeah.
So being a young Jewish person during that time, did you ever feel the effects of the war going on around you?
Yes, I did. I do remember, I was 8 years old. I remember this very clearly. And it was a Sunday morning. And I was sitting on the floor in our living room with the funnies, you know, the funny papers. What do we call them now?
Cartoons?
The cartoons, yeah, from the
paper.
From the newspaper. And I was sitting on the floor. And my father, when he was home, he always had the radio on. We didn't have television in those days. But he had the radio on because he liked to listen to the news. He liked to know what was going on. And he came out that morning. He'd been listening to the radio, and that was the day of Pearl Harbor, mm-hmm. when Pearl Harbor had been attacked. And he came out, and he said, he was really very, very upset. He was practically crying. And he said, now we're going to be in war.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary. I was scared because I didn't really know what that meant. I was only 8 years old. But when my father said, when my father was upset, and my father was a guy who didn't seem to get upset very often. But I heard, when I could see how upset he was, and he talked about war, all I could think about, oh my goodness, you know, they're going to come and we're all going to die.
Were you aware, was people in America kind of aware of, like, the massacre that was going on of the Jews in Europe, or were you guys, did you not really know?
I don't think we really were sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think we knew. No, we knew afterwards, but we didn't know at the time. I'm sure that most people did know, but there wasn't a lot about it in the papers.
News. Yeah. And you were also a kid.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of Jewish people in your town?
Actually, it was pretty lot of Jewish people for that small town. We had both a synagogue and a temple.
Mm.
And we belonged to the temple.
You weren't very religious, Gordon.
We were not very religious. We belonged to the temple. And I did go to, I was never bat mitzvah because in those days,
girls
usually weren't bat mitzvah. But I went to Sunday school and I was confirmed. I stayed in Sunday school until I was...
You were confirmed?
That's what it was called. It was called confirmation.
Well, now that's just Catholics do that. We don't
well,
do that.
Well, that was, that's we what, did it.
Yeah.
We did it, and I have a picture. I think there were 12 of us in my confirmation class, boys and girls. And we went to, every Sunday, we went there, and we studied. And, you know, it wasn't anything that was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was more fun than anything else.
Yeah.
But we did learn a little bit about Judaism.
Yeah.
And, of course, we always went to temple on
high holidays
and maybe some other times, you know, My father didn't go very often at all, but my mother would go. And I think the reason that she would go almost every Friday night was just, it was kind of because her friends were there. Yeah. And that was what they did. And there wasn't much else to do in Steubenville.
Go to your dad's bar. Yeah. What was I going to say? Do you remember, was there anyone growing up who had a really big influence on you?
Big what?
Influence on you, like kind of shape the type of person you are today.
Liz is here.
Oh, okay. Well, influence on me. Not really. I would think it would probably be my sister. She was 4 years older. She was ahead of me. And she was very smart. She was way ahead of me in school. And she had done well in college, and she was teaching school. She was teaching kindergarten when she got out of college. She came back to Steubenville, and she was teaching kindergarten there. And, you know, I just wanted to be as good as she was.
Yeah. So you kind of tried to live up to her.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I wanted to get as good grades as she did, which I never did. I mean, my grades were okay, but she was ahead of me, you know, as far as grades and school was concerned. Yeah.
That's kind of similar to, like, me and my sisters, because now I'm the youngest, and I always try to live up to them, so.
And sometimes it's hard.
It is.
Yeah.
It's hard to live in your sister's shadow when they're...
Right, right.
You feel like they're leaps and bounds ahead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I definitely get that. So now I wanted to kind of talk more about you being a mother. So tell me about when you first found out you were going to be a mom, and like how you felt about it when... I guess it was my dad was born. Do you remember?
Yes. I guess I was real excited about it, you know. And, you know, all I know is that I was excited about it. Jack was very excited about it. And we were happy to have a child. We were very happy to have a child.
In those days, could you tell ahead of time if it was going to be a boy or a girl?
No. You did not know. You did not know.
Do you remember if you wanted a boy or a girl, or what?
It didn't matter to me. It didn't matter to me. And when our second child, Betsy, was born, the birth was very fast. I mean, we barely got to the hospital in time. And Jack was parking the car, and by the time he got in, I'd already had the baby.
Pop-up missed it?
Well, yeah, he missed it. You know, in those days, the father didn't stand close. They stayed outside and waited.
Really?
Yeah.
So no one was in the room except the doctor?
The doctors, yeah, and the nurses, yeah.
Did mm-hmm. your mother come?
No.
Too far away?
It was too far away, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyhow, when he came in, he got the car parked and he came in, and finally, you know, they called him in and said, you know, you now have a daughter. And he said, really? He said, are you sure? Because we don't have any girls in our family. Because he was, all his cousins were boys. Mm-hmm. There were hardly any girls at all in their family. And of course, our first child was a boy, and he just was convinced that we were never going to have a girl. And he was just beside himself when he heard it was a girl. And he said, are you sure? Are you sure? Really? Is it really a girl? And the nurse finally said, come here. And she pulled the diaper down. She said, look, it's a girl.
He was pretty shocked.
Yeah.
How old was my dad when Aunt Betsy was born? He was like about one, right?
Yeah, they were close together. They were just a little bit less than 2 years apart. Yeah.
Just less mm-hmm. than 2 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any favorite stories you have about my dad when he was growing up, or what was he like when he was a kid?
He was kind of difficult.
He was difficult.
Because his sisters, he had two sisters, and he didn't get along with them very well. And he wanted to be the boss all the time. And
still wants to be.
And of course, his sisters didn't want him to be the boss, you know. And there was a lot of fighting. Well, I mean, not physical fighting, but, you know, just, you know, back and forth. They would get at each other. And I also think he was overwhelmed by having two sisters. I don't know. It was you know, it was fine. It ended up wonderfully. But I do remember that Linda, that was his younger sister, Doug had gone away to college. He went to Boston for college. And that changed him completely. Once he got away from us, he was a different person. And I remember Linda, this was a couple years after he, oh, of course it had to be a couple years after he had gone up to, you know, college. In fact, he might have been out of college and was working up there. And Linda went up to look at colleges, and she stayed with him. And she called me, and she said, I can't believe it. She said, Doug is being nice to me. It was like the first time he'd ever been nice to her.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. And they used to fight a lot. Oh, my God. They used to fight all the time. Yeah.
So now when you should remind him when Sophie and I fight, should be like, that used to be the two of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember what one of your happiest memories have been? Of the family?
Oh, I have so many happy memories. I have so many happy memories, really.
Do you have a favorite one, or?
Well, I guess it was having grandchildren.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, one clear moment?
I guess it was having grandchildren. Mm-hmm. You know, that was very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember going up to New York when she was born. Our first granddaughter was born. There she is right there.
And my sister Emily.
Emily, yeah, when Emily was born. And we were just so excited. We couldn't wait to hold her, and we were just really thrilled.
Mm-hmm. And
Jack was especially thrilled because he loved babies. Oh, he just adored babies. He loved everybody's baby. And to have his own grandchild was really special.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it was Emily, and then 4 years later, then 3 years later, Sophie, and then 4 years later, me and Caleb within a couple months.
Right, right.
So that must have been a very hectic time, those couple of years.
Yeah. It was all good. It was all good, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were born right after birthday, and right after Tom and Linda's wedding. You were born like a month after that, right?
Yeah, because I think they got married in May, and I was born in June.
Right.
Or maybe they got married in early June, and I was born in mid-June.
Yeah.
It was very close after their wedding.
Very close, yeah.
Because my mom and Aunt Betsy are both pregnant in those pictures.
Right, that's right, right.
Uh-huh. And I remember Pop-Up told my mom she looked fat, and she got so mad at him.
Yes, he wasn't very good at all that.
So, do you think there was some big historical event that happened within your lifetime that's kind of changed your life in any way, or it really impacted you?
Well, mainly it was moving from Pittsburgh to Boston, to Baltimore. That was a big change in my life, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't want to do it.
Why did you move?
Well, because Jack wanted to. He had been a salesman for London Fog in the Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania area. And he was doing well. You know, he was doing well. He was making a nice living. And he was really a very good salesman. He was one of their best salesmen. And they were all over the country. And they kept asking him to move to this place, that place. And he kept saying no, because I was teaching school at the time. Mm-hmm. Actually, what happened was, after my children were born, I stayed home because I didn't want to be working, you know, when they were little. But I knew that eventually they would all be in school, and I wanted to go back to work. And I didn't want to go back to being a secretary. But I wanted a job somehow. So I went to University of Pittsburgh, and I talked to someone there, and said, what I really want to do is become a teacher. And I want to teach small children, you know.
That's not what you did, though.
So the counselor looked at my papers and everything, and he said, you have all these business credits that you have accumulated. He said, wouldn't you be smarter to be a business teacher teaching business in high school? High school, because in those days there were a lot of high school, well, I don't know if there still are, but you taught typing, you taught shorthand, and you taught all kinds of things to give people the ability to get jobs.
We don't really have those anymore.
I know, but this was a lot, you know, remember this, we're talking about 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he convinced me that I could do this much quicker. And so I signed up at University of Pittsburgh, and I went at nights and took the courses that I would need to get a business education degree to teach junior high and high school. And it took me 7 years to do it, because I did it like one course at a time, because I couldn't do more. I had three small children, and I could only go at night. And I can remember every time I would go in, my counselor would say, Apple, Apple, are you still here? But I finally made it. And right as soon as I graduated, and I graduated in the middle of the year, it was like December graduation. And of course, I couldn't get a job teaching then because it was the middle of the year. So I put my name on a list to substitute. And I put my name on a list of all different schools that I could think of, high schools. And one morning at about 6 o'clock, my phone rang, and it was this high school calling me and saying, can you come today? Our typing teacher is not here. She's out sick. Can you come? And I said, I can come, but where is the school? I didn't even know, because I had put my name into like 20 schools. Where is it? And it turned out not to be that far from where I lived. You know, it wasn't that close, but it wasn't that far either. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll come. So I hurried and got the kids out and got myself dressed, and I went. And the teacher had called in ill, you know. Well, anyhow, I ended up staying at that school for 18 years. She never came back, and I finished that year, and then they asked me to stay, and I stayed there for 18 years.
Wow, that's awesome. And you loved it, right? You loved
it. I did. I liked it a lot, yeah. And I started teaching typing, and we started out on typewriters, regular old typewriters, and as the years went on, we would move up and up and up until we finally ended up with computers.
That must have been pretty, must have been a weird, big difference to see.
It was. When they brought the computers, and you know, nobody knew how to use computers in those days, yeah. Really. One of the teachers in the school knew, and he held classes for those of us who didn't know anything about computers. And it was in the summer, you know, before school started, and we went to, and he taught us how to use the computers, and I was able to teach computers, and the, you know, kids had never seen these before. It was really something.
That must have been awesome to do.
Yeah.
So we only have about 6 minutes left, so I have two more questions I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
So I know you and Pop-Up would travel a lot when you guys were younger, so what's your absolute favorite place you've ever been?
Oh boy, there were so many. We loved Japan. We were in Japan. And, you know, so many different places in Europe, you know, England, just, you know, so many different countries we did in Europe. We did, I'd say about 4 or 5 different countries we'd done. And we just loved every one of them. You know, I can't pick one to say this was the best place we've ever been, but we were in Japan, we were in China. And we were in so many different European countries. And that was really, we loved every one of them. We never had a bad trip. Yeah. We really didn't. It was just great. And then as we got older and we started doing boat trips.
Cruise ships,
but not in the, it was always cruise ships within the country, not out in the middle of the world. Yeah, we didn't do that because I couldn't stand that. I did not like that. So it was like the cruise ships were on, they weren't on the ocean, they were on river, they were river cruises.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, to me, that was perfect. Because you could get off and you could see that, you know, where we'd been and everything, and I liked that a lot. Yeah. And we did about 3 or 4 of those in different places, different parts of Europe.
That must have been really fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So there's 2 more questions I really want to ask, but I think this one's more important. So thinking about your family and the many generations from now, and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them or any wisdom you would like to share?
I don't know about wisdom, but I do want to say that I think I'm the luckiest person ever because I've had such a wonderful life. I really have.
Yeah.
And wonderful. My parents were good. My children have been unbelievable. And my grandchildren, too. And I've just been very, very lucky. My life has been really a good life.
Yeah.
A really good life.
Yeah. I'm really, really lucky to have you as a grandma.
Thank you, sweetie.
And this is just one fun question I want to ask you. Do you think our country is in a better state now than when you were as a kid?
No.
No?
I think it's in a terrible state now.
Yeah. Who was the president when you were a kid?
Was Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt.
And he was awesome, right?
And he was there for 12 years. And he died, and I remember the day he died, which had to have been back in, and I can't remember the year. I think I was 12 years old. I think I was 12, yeah. And I remember we were eating dinner. And as I said, my father always had the radio on, because he wanted to know what was going on in the world. We didn't have TV in those days. And they announced that he had died. Well, I was beside myself. I had never known any other president. And I thought, the world is going to come to an end now. Because how can we continue without Franklin Roosevelt? Because he had been 12 years. He was actually president.
And so
he had 4 terms.
Yeah. And then you must have thought, again, the world isn't going to come to an end when you saw this last election.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you doing this interview for me, and I can't wait to transcribe it and write the paper, and I will send them all to you.
Please, yes, I want to see them.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to see them, yeah.
Thank you so much, Mo.
Thank you, honey.
I think somebody else is trying to get in.